fighting for America. Fighting for Idaho.
They asked us to try to get three people to vote for the bond, and so I was trying to do my part.
The multi-million-dollar bond would build two middle schools and an elementary school, remodel and expand Meridian High, and buy property where another school can be built in the future.
Fighting for you.
One had to hire an attorney to write a letter to force them off her property, and the other one had to get her big burly neighbor to come down and basically threaten them.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Good morning. Thank you all for being here with us. Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Coming up, a very interesting conversation we're going to have with a state senator who is going to tell us about his proposal. Get this, that if you want to get a high school diploma here in the state of Idaho, you've got to pass a basic civics test. I kind of like that idea, so we'll talk a little bit about that, especially when you're thinking about the country, the state that it's in right now, perhaps even the state of disrepair and the lack of critical thinking skills. Is it time for high school seniors to make sure that they know more about civics? So we'll talk about SB 1071 coming up. Senator Jim Patrick will join us. Also, Steve Forbes will be in the House. It's been 20 years, almost 20 years since he ran for president. Hope, growth, and opportunity. He'll tell us about the economy in light of what has happened with the 2,000 folks at Target that are getting the boot. So we will talk to Mr. Forbes. Stephen Yates will join us to talk about his day job having nothing to do with the Idaho Republican Party, which he happens to be the chair of, but Bibi, Iran, and Israel in America. That's coming up. But we start the program with our own heavy hitter in the bullpen, David Ripley from Idaho Chooses Life. Good morning, sir.
You're good for me, Kevin. Thank you.
Well, it's a privilege, a blessing to have you with us. Before we get to HB 154,
yep.
I do want to ask your thoughts on the legislature. There have been a lot of people that have been a little upset about the gun legislation that has and hasn't happened, Common Core, tiered tenure, budgets. From your point, being there in the legislature, how do you think this session's going, and are we going to have a stamp of conservatism or something else?
Well, I think that remains to be seen. Certainly the overwhelming vote we got on the pro-life bill, was very encouraging. I think what the House State Affairs Committee did with respect to the Add the Words deal is also encouraging. But there are some issues that the legislature is not quite ready to deal with, Common Core being one of them, the SBAC test. Personally, I think that that's a pretty serious mistake. I think people have a right to redress their grievances with, their state government. And a hearing, I think, would be in order. the gun bill, I think is a little more complicated. I've heard my dear friend Tom Lurcher come in for some pretty serious butt-chewing on your show and other places, and that distresses me a little bit because I know him to be, one of the finest people in the building. In fact, he's the sponsor of our pro-life bill this year. And I think part of the problem here is that I think the proponents of the bill, which I largely support, that's not my area of expertise, but, I think part of the issue here is that I don't think they appreciate exactly how big of a change they're proposing. You have a certain paradigm in the legislature in terms of the concealed weapons permit and in terms of managing the Second Amendment in a way, and generally speaking, every year there's some kind of proposal to working within that paradigm, expanding people's freedom in terms of exercising their Second Amendment rights. That the new legislation actually represents a pretty substantial paradigm shift, and I think I don't think everybody appreciates that requires some time and some, I think, public discourse I know that there's a sense that, you know, a public hearing could do that. But I think part of the issue is figuring out who the enemy is, figuring out where the opposition is, and figuring out strategies for getting a public discussion going to knock down one argument, you know, the straw men, as it were.
David Ripley with us, Idaho Chooses Life. Kevin Miller in the morning at 580KIDO. Well, it's interesting when you talk about Representative Lurcher. He's been in the hot seat quite some time. You've got the Add the Words folks. He was very emotional after that hearing. And remember this.
I'm calling on the people of this state to stop the cruelty. It has no place in our society. I'm calling on people everywhere to get over themselves, get past all this, and to be less cruel, or more favorably stated, kind in your approach to people who you may perceive that are different from you.
Oh, they're very emotional statement there by your friend.
Yeah, and the fact is, I think he's a man of strong faith, and I think, and I will tell you that hearing continues to come up in conversations with legislators who sat on that House State Affairs Committee. I think it had a pretty big effect upon them. I think there's a real compassion for some of the circumstances and some of the lifestyles and the, you know, the wounds that some of the people testifying talked about. I think Tom is exhibiting Christian love. But that doesn't, you know, and people that take that quotation out of context, I think, aren't being fair to him. You know, he led the opposition to passing the legislation.
True.
Under some serious duress, by the way. You know, there's some stuff floating around on the Internet, you know, with Tom in the KKK garb.
Right.
From the, Add the Words people, which I think is just obscene.
Well, and David Ripley with us at 580KIDO, and this is something that the left doesn't like to talk about, the tolerance crowd, if you will.
You bet.
But they're bigoted, they're intolerant, they threaten people's lives, they slander people all the time. I'm sure you've been a victim of it, especially if you're pro-life or you're pro-family or you're pro-anything that they seem to disagree with.
Yeah, and the fact is, I think what makes it even more obscene is the fact that that committee, I've been working at the legislature for some 20 years, okay? There is no other issue that was given that much hearing time and consideration, okay? And the fact that they didn't get what they want, too bad, but they should at least be grateful for the fact that they were taken seriously. They had their opportunity to make their case. And as I said earlier, I think a lot of people in that legislature learned something, and they I think have a lot of compassion for some of what's going on, and but they disagree with how to deal with those problems.
Yeah, but the problem is that, you know, and they're back at it again, back to protesting, and, you know, my thought is they're nothing but a bunch of bullies, and they've broken the law, and I disagreed with giving them a hearing based on the fact that we rewarded them, we got into this with Representative Crane on it. You're rewarding them for breaking the law. David Ripley, if you broke the law, would you get a hearing?
Hey, I'm lucky to get a hearing on stuff that doesn't even have anything to do with this issue.
Well, and I've drawn you out enough into everything outside your area of expertise.
Right.
And you're going.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm in lots of trouble, and I've only been on for, 7 minutes, so.
I know, you're saying, here I am with Miller on 580, and already he's drawn me to the quagmire. Okay, let's talk about House Bill 154.
Well, I believe this is one of the first, maybe the only bill I can think of that actually had unanimous Republican support. And that's pretty encouraging. On the other hand, it had unanimous Democrat opposition. And we listened again on the House floor to the Democrats persuade themselves that the bill had nothing to do with protecting a woman's health and everything to do with trying to, strip her of her so-called rights under Roe v. Wade. And the truth of the matter is that this is what's going on here with Planned Parenthood is very dangerous for women. So much so that in the state where they have had the most experience with this, in Iowa, there were doctors petitioning the State Board of Medicine to investigate the practice of remote control abortions or telemed abortions. And the State Board of Medicine actually held hearings on it and issued a rule prohibiting the procedure. And that, I think, is a stunning development. I mean, it just doesn't happen, you know, where a group of medical professionals censors another, as it were. But they declare it to be unsafe. And yet, you know, in the legislature, we've endured hearings and floor debate in which the Democrats repeatedly, I think, are willing to sacrifice some women in the name of reproductive freedom. And that's distressing.
Well, I think what's concerning to me, and it doesn't bother you, but the vilification of people that voted for this bill, the vilification of the state of Idaho, we saw that last week with Representative Barbieri.
Yeah, that was really pretty ridiculous, and I think a prime example of how the left works. You know, they are very effective at working it from a minority point of view, and they are bullies. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Well, and the left seems to have, the national left seems to have an obsession with the state of Idaho going, oh, look, and it's out of Idaho.
Right. Yeah, and that was unfortunate. And of course, it fed into their whole deal, you know, talk about anything but women dying from RU-46. And in fact, if you'll allow me, I want to talk just a second longer about this Iowa deal. We had the woman from who actually ran a Planned Parenthood clinic in Iowa come to Boise and testify in front of the House State Affairs Committee. She told those legislators that she quit over this issue and that the plan of Planned Parenthood was to conduct 1,000 of these telemed abortions under the cloak of darkness and then come forward with some kind of a study as they were trying to create a new standard of care in the state of Iowa. And I reread her testimony and got to thinking about what she was saying. And I don't think there's any escaping the conclusion that the Planned Parenthood was actually conducting widespread medical experiments on the women of Iowa without presumably their knowledge or understanding as to what risk they might be assuming or greater risk, right? I mean, it's kind of like some Mengele deal. And I'm not surprised the State Board of Medicine, you know, banned the practice, but I guess I'm even more troubled by the cavalier notion, you know, an attitude that Planned Parenthood has toward women. It's one of almost contempt in a way.
David Ripley with us, Idaho Chooses Life. Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580KIDO. So it moves to the Senate. Do you expect some folks to have some issues, and we're going to have dueling press releases, and then we're going to have interviews with the usual suspects?
Oh, I think a lot of that will go on, but I'm pretty confident, especially after the House vote, I'm pretty confident we're going to see this legislation signed into law, you know, this spring. Unfortunately, I think we are not going to get any movement on another pro-life bill in the Senate, Senate Bill 1102, which was brought forward by Senator Hyder, not a twin. That bill would have required anybody doing surgical abortions, to have admitting privileges at a hospital within 30 miles of where they perform those abortions. And that legislation, I think, is of tremendous importance. And Planned Parenthood was rightly quite worried about what that could do to their, you know, practice in the state. They fly an abortionist in and out from Seattle, as I understand it, who comes in, you know, whacks a few babies and flies home, you know, and waits for the check in the mail, I guess. So there are a lot of we've heard this for years, you know, there are doctors in these emergency rooms who are pretty upset about cleaning up the mess that Planned Parenthood leaves them. I mean, so women walk in with complications from either chemical abortions or surgical abortions, and those doctors in those emergency rooms don't have any experience with those women. They don't know what happened exactly or who did what, how long, you know, it's been, and so forth. And so,
and you get vilified for bringing this up, and you get vilified for saying that you're trying to take away the women's rights when you're trying to say, look, this stuff isn't being reported. Look, this is the devil in the details of what's going on.
Right.
We need to debate this. We need to save lives.
Right. And the fact is, you know, contrary to popular opinion, I mean, we're about protecting those babies, but we're also about protecting those women because, you know, they are made in God's image as well.
Well, David Ripley, hang on. Much more coming up with our friend David Ripley, Idaho Chooses Life, because we do want to get into the cultural world that we live in here and the glamification of these reprehensible procedures. It is Kevin Miller in the morning, 620 at 580 KIDO. Let's get you to work.
Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, David Ripley with us, Idaho Chooses Life. IdahoChoosesLife.org. So let's talk a little bit about culture. How are parents, how are guardians, how are people that care about America, how do we combat what's going on today culturally in the media?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. It's not exactly in response to your question. I was pretty surprised by the vote, I think it was last week, on asserting parental authority, you know, as a code, wasn't even a constitutional amendment. I mean, it was a proposed statute by Janet Trujillo out of Idaho Falls, and it did pass the House, but I was taken aback. I think it only passed by like 6 votes. And there were a lot of Republicans I was surprised to see that were pretty wobbly on the question of parental authority, which then, of course, raises doubts about their, you know, appreciation of parents' roles in families and parents' responsibility with respect to their kids. You know, there seems to be some creeping Hillary Clinton village kind of thinking going on even within Idaho's Republican Party.
Well, you know, that's a very interesting point. So back to the question, is it through prayer? Is it through guidance? When you have people that are of moral faith, of Christian faith, being vilified in popular culture. Heck, I'm watching The Amazing Race, and they got a kid from New Kids on the Block with his gay boyfriend kissing each other.
Yeah, it's there's no doubt that the media is in a full-time salesman mode, you know, to try to normalize and drain, you know, the discussion of any moral or certainly spiritual or religious implications. And in fact, I would tell you, going back to our bill, I mean, that's part of what Planned Parenthood is about with respect to, you know, chemical abortions, because they actually have referred to it as they've drawn analogies to aspirin and called it medication, you know, as if you're treating an ulcer or, you know, some other kind of medical problem. And that's all designed to drain, even for the woman who is taking the drugs, to drain it of its moral consequence. And, of course, that's a very dangerous thing because, in fact, at the end of the day, I believe virtually every woman who ends the life of her baby knows exactly what she's doing. Unfortunately, many times that realization doesn't crystallize until it's too late.
David Ripley, Idaho Chooses Life. We always appreciate it. Thank you, brother.
Well, I'm grateful for you and your listeners, so thank you, Kevin.
IdahoChoosesLife.org. Stay out of trouble, would you?
I'll try, but, you know, I'm going to have to stop talking to you, I think.
Take care, brother.
Bless you, man. Bye.
Bless you. All right, our great friend, David Ripley. You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO. Idaho's first radio station.
What we did in doing our protests was we would come in to the state house in a group of whatever size, from sometimes 3 to sometimes 55 people. And we would stand and wait for them to give us a hearing and wait for them to come and look at us and listen to our stories.
Well, you were blocking the doorways, though.
Uh-huh. And so they would choose to arrest us instead.
But you were breaking the law.
We were, but that was a pretty easy thing to fix. All they needed to do was have a hearing, and we're out of the way.
There you have it. Nicole LaFaver, former senator, former candidate for Congress, with us last year talking about Add the Words, and you remember the big brouhaha concerning Add the Words. All they wanted was a hearing,
And there was one lone voice with yours consistent in the universe saying, this is just the beginning. It's they're not going to be satisfied with just a hearing. And we see they're back at it again, protesting. And this should be a message to the state legislature that you don't reward lawbreaking, correct? You just don't reward people that break the law. Speaking of the state legislature, the state Senate has issues with a Hindu prayer. We'll get to that in a minute. Plus, we'll go live to Israel for their reaction to Benjamin Netanyahu's speech. But first, we start with Walt in Nampa very early this morning with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO.
Good morning, happy fellow.
Hello, I'm just a jolly bundle of joy. Walt?
Hey, I read an article on the internet John Sabato wrote, and he wanted to know if the Democrats were going to be able to take this Congress back in 2016. I immediately questioned, did they ever lose it? I mean, with Mitch McConnell rolling over, hoping Obama scratches his tummy, and the way things are going in the House, with Kerry Reid still running the House, you know, you got to say, did they lose it?
That's a very good point. And you know, can we be brutally honest today?
Go ahead.
Can you imagine what a pathetic life one must have being a member of Congress? Now, we're thankful that they're up there, they're doing their own things, but are they really concerned about legislation or are they concerned about getting reelected? Now, in the Senate, it's a lot nicer gig. You only have to hang out with us slappies every 6 years. The House, as soon as you get reelected, you got to go back to worrying about getting reelected.
Well, that's been one of the things about the House is that they're constantly on a reelection campaign.
Yeah, I mean, talk about a grind, having to worry about that all the time.
Well, this is one of the reasons why term limits always sounded good to me. I mean, some of these guys, I'm going, you're not there to really look after us. We get to Washington, D.C., you're so far away from Idaho, you don't even, it's like another world.
And, well, they're there looking out for themselves.
Well, yeah. I mean, this has been the whole thing. My come down to the point, you know, I voted for a number of years. In fact, I worked for Goldwater when he was running for president.
Ah, the infamous campaign of 64.
Yeah, and so it's been a while. And since then, I voted every chance when I was in the States or in the country, whatever. But now I'm coming to the point, why bother? What the hell have we got? We've got another set of Democrats or Republicrats or whatever you want to call them.
Hmm.
And I don't see that we're getting anywhere.
Well,
Obama's running wild.
Right.
I've asked our congressman, how come we don't impeach this guy? Oh, we can't. I'm going, how come? Because there's Joe Biden. So impeach him, too.
Exactly. So, Walt, thank you for the call. We go live to Jerusalem. Jessica Goller joins us now from 580KIDO from Fox News Radio. Good morning.
Good morning.
So everybody's buzzing about BB here. What about over there?
They are buzzing as well. He actually arrived back here in Jerusalem and said that he provided an alternative deal for Iran over its nuclear program. But a lot of people here, at least that I spoke with, were frustrated because Netanyahu called early elections for exactly 2 weeks from yesterday when he addressed the joint meeting of Congress. And even Bibi himself said that the information that he was about to talk about could be Googled. So there wasn't really an aha moment of him saying anything different than he hasn't said over the past years about Iran's nuclear program. So some people were frustrated. They thought that he was using it to further his campaign. As I said, the elections are 2 weeks from now. One woman said that Bibi had made a fool, or that he was a fool because he was running U.S.-Israeli relations, which she thought were very important. So it's sort of a mixed bag over here, and I think the true litmus test is when people head to the polls in less than 2 weeks.
Yeah, and I think it depends on your political persuasion, whether it's in Israel or here. You had people saying this is a Churchill-like moment, the Churchill of our times, the only leader of a foreign country to speak before Congress three times, Bibi Netanyahu. And then you have others that walked out that were very upset about his speech. So maybe what's happening over here is mirroring what's happening over there.
Yes, it's definitely both sides of the coin. And I was really personally surprised when I saw the standing ovations. And he got a lot of hooting and hollering, you know, in the chamber there. That was a surprise to me. But I think the main issue here people are having is that the elections are less than 2 weeks away. And people are thinking that perhaps Netanyahu should have been here in Israel tending to domestic issues and not trying to perhaps garner more votes, because we won't know until people head to the polls and cast their ballots really if that speech had any effect on them.
Couldn't hurt, though, I guess, Jessica. A lot of people, I would imagine, they'd say.
Well, it depends on which side of the coin you're on, I think. One man, actually, that I spoke to said he was embarrassed. He said, you know, I can't believe this is outrageous that he's doing this. You know, it goes against protocol. Well, you know, this is really not something that he should have done. One of the other issues in reference to the elections that are coming up is that Bibi has been in office for nearly 9 years. There are no term limits when it comes to everyone except for the president. And so there's this sort of so-called Bibi fatigue. Perhaps people want to see a different face. There's also been some criticism of he and his wife lately in the press, because his wife was complaining that they didn't have enough money to redo the prime minister's residence, and that when President Obama came to visit, he had to sit on a coffee-stained sofa. And some Israelis were pretty angry about that, saying, you know, you're complaining about redecorating the prime minister residence. I have to feed my children. You know, there's not enough housing. We're having these issues. So there's some frustration this side of the pond.
Jessica, finally, what about the issue that Netanyahu talked about yesterday, Iran? What's the feeling on the ground there concerning the regime in Tehran?
A lot of people do feel like Iran is a threat, but they felt like that Iran has been a threat for quite some time and that there are bigger issues, the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. We did get a response from Iran's foreign ministry. The spokeswoman, she came out to say that Bibi didn't have anything new to say, and that he was just spreading lies, and that the six-way talks should be able to continue, and he should respect the conscience of the world community. Six-way talks had hoped to have a framework in place by the end of the month. We don't know if that's going to happen. You know, and the latest from those talks is that it would be a sort of a 12-year deal, and that for the first 10 years there would be massive restrictions against Tehran, and if Tehran did what they were supposed to do, that perhaps sanctions would be lifted, but that's not a given.
Jessica, thank you. All right, Jessica Galler at 580KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Now, Netanyahu's conversation has got a lot of people fired up, most notably our friends on Morning Joe, Mika and Joe having a spat where you have Mika, the liberal Democrat, basically smacking Netanyahu, calling him destructive. Chris Matthews saying he wants to take over the American government. And on the other hand, you have the moderate Scarborough saying, hey, a lot of people agree with Netanyahu when it comes to Tehran.
We'll start where we'll end where you began, Joe, and you said, you know, the Democrats are seething. I was talking to Bob in the elevator, and actually he thought my words were too strong. I don't think they are. I'm more horrified about what happened in terms of the political destructiveness of it, the way Netanyahu used the Republicans, or they used him to undermine the Democrats and make the president look bad. And I thought it was a sideshow and a conversation that should be had in the White House and between world leaders and with the Republicans. But the way they used this platform was really disturbing and disappointing.
And as I've been saying through this entire process, what you don't seem, at least to me, what you don't seem to understand, or what you don't seem to realize, and I'm trying not to sound condescending, but when you say it that way, it's almost as if you don't understand that there are at least 50% of Americans who believe that this is the gravest threat, and I believe that this. Mika, can I please finish? Okay, mm-hmm. Will you please let me finish?
Sure. This is
Mika doing her best Claire Underwood to Scarborough's Frank Underwood. Can you believe? And for those of you that weren't alive in 79, our young people, our great millennial, conservative, moral folks that listen, that support us, that are the future of this great state, this great nation, 79 was a horrific year when Tehran stormed our embassy, took our hostages, destroyed a president, and it wasn't until the greatness of Reagan brought America back that the coward Khomeini, the Ayatollah, the Grand Poobah, released are Americans. There was no consequences. We had the brave Delta operators of Desert One go in there. And the military was downsized. 8 men lost their lives. Tehran wants to destroy us. Folks, it's like dealing with the bully. You either deal with them or they beat you up. And then when you're on the ground trying to get up amid the blows and the punches, you go, well, why are you beating me up? Because they're bullies. They want, when someone says, I want to kill you, do you take that threat seriously? When someone calls you the great Satan, do you just go, ha ha, let's give them nukes?
Let me say what I say, and then you can go back to bashing this whole exercise. But there are those of us who believe this is the gravest threat Israel has faced since 1948. If you asked me to talk about what's the gravest risk to America, comparing ISIS to Iran, the epicenter of terrorism since 1979, and put that on the scale, I would say ISIS is more like a JV team. Compared to the Islamic Republic of Iran, the epicenter of terrorism since 1979, having a nuclear weapon. A nuclear weapon that not just Israel and the United States fears, but a nuclear weapon that Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, the entire Middle East fears.
Point made.
It will- there we have it. How in the world can anyone, with any gravitas, with any background, with any brain in their head, think that Iran is our friend, that we're giving them these nuclear secrets? The sanctions have worked. Now, all of a sudden, we're going to ease up? And they've already broken the restrictions that were in place to begin with. They have Pastor Saeed. They have many Americans held against their will, tortured, friends with ISIS, friends with Hamas, friends with Hezbollah. And Obama wants to be their friend? And Obama condescendingly smacks Netanyahu? Do you see the sanity there? As I said to one of my progressive, more mainstream friends last night, the Middle East is a disaster. When Bush was there, things were in order. Gaddafi, Hosni Mubarak, Assad, we had control of Iraq and Afghanistan. Now, unfortunately, we've got the guy that knows the region, knows the people. He's going to relate. We're going to lead from behind, and we've turned the Middle East into Obamacare, right? Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, time for traffic.
Treasure Valley's exclusive home for Kevin Miller. KIDOAM.com, 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO, phone numbers 580-5436. 580-KIDO, and as we've been talking about all morning long, a big controversy involving the Idaho Senate, and you have a few lawmakers walking out during a Hindu prayer. We are a nation of religious tolerance. What does that mean to you? 580-5436. Also, your reaction to Bibi Netanyahu. Here's what the commander-in-chief had to say. Well, we'll get back to that in a minute. Phone numbers, again, as we've said, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. So we've got the president talking about Netanyahu. And here's another one that now you have people defending Hillary Rodham Clinton. Remember when she was just Hillary Clinton? Then she was Hillary Rodham Clinton and everything else. Anyway, regardless of this, yesterday during the White House press briefing, Press Secretary Josh Earnest was asked about Hillary Clinton and her emails.
When there are situations where personal email accounts are used, it is important for those records to be preserved consistent with the Federal Records Act. In fact, the president signed into law a bill at the end of last year that clarified the guidelines for how those personal emails can be properly stored and maintained.
Well, the deal was the Clintons being shrewd, the Clintons being cagey, the Clintons being sneaky, did what the Clintons usually do and try and skirt the law, right? If you have a personal account, it doesn't go to the government server. Therefore, we don't know what she said. And by the way, I think her Yahoo, Gmail, whatever account she had is a lot easier to be hacked into than a government account, right? From the Department of State. Josh Earnest?
The policy, as a general matter, allows individuals to use their personal email address as long as those emails are maintained and sent to the State Department, which If you ask Secretary Clinton's team, that's what they completed in the last month or two.
Right. Allegedly. Do you have those records, sir?
Secretary Clinton's team, in response to that request, reviewed her emails and complied with that request by sending all of the emails on her personal account that pertain to her official responsibilities as Secretary of the State.
Sure, but how do we know what is and what isn't official? Kind of like IRS records. Oh, the craziness, the wackiness, the zaniness with the Obama crew just continues on, right? Let's get.
And coming up next, Fox News on the radio, and we talk to the chairman of the Idaho GOP and an intelligence expert all in one, Stephen Yates, next.